Let's just kick off. Your accent is South African, but you live in America.
It is. Thanks. Congrats on the Lesbian Scott Reed conference. So I've been in, I've been working in the US for probably over 10 years now. So I moved to the US in 2012. But maybe I should just take a step back in terms of, you know, what my background is. Commercial real estate, so I ended up two public REITs here in South Africa back in the early 2000s. I think one of them is still listed. I mean, it's Orion Real Estate Hotel Group. The other one we listed in the height of the crash. Well, we didn't know the crash was at the time, but we ended up doing a private equity deal with Nedbank. Also involved in a number of developments here. The last one we did before I went to the US was the biggest Virgin Active at Bryanston. Moved to the US in 2012 because of time. Just got one too many times. In South Africa, as so many other South African families have done. But moved lock, stock, moved the family across, dogs, cats, kind of everything across. We actually went across on a, it's called an L1 visa. So we basically used the company, Black Star Properties, which was South African, to set up a new kind of division in the US. That's kind of how we got our visas. But it was very difficult. I mean, you know, the first kind of 2 years, I mean, you go in the US, what you don't realize is you need to have a credit, you need to have a credit score. And you need to have bank accounts and all that kind of stuff. So to do any poor credit or kind of whatever, it's just pretty difficult.
Just bring the mic a bit closer.
Sure. The visa basically gave me 3 years in the US to set up business. We had to employ 10 people at that stage as well. Anyway, we didn't get it right the first time. But what we were looking to do from a commercial real estate point of view is essentially help South Africans kind of invest into the US. And at that stage, I think 2012, the rand was still at kind of 8 rand to the dollar. I kept on saying to everyone else, I've got a 10 to the dollar, and everyone said no, I'll never get there. But anyway, that's all in hindsight. But there was in the US, there was an initiative called the Jobs Act that was launched in about 2013, 2014, called Jumpstart Business Act. But it, essentially what it did is changed all the kind of the old rules and regulations in the US around raising capital. So prior to that, you had to have a broker dealer who you were looking to raise capital, you had to engage someone to raise capital for you. And essentially what the Jobs Act did is that essentially gave rise to crowdfunding with democratization of capital. And that's kind of where we saw an opportunity to kind of build the technology. We actually built an online real estate platform.
I just want to stop you there. Crowdfunding. And we've seen a little bit of that in South Africa where people get into trouble and they haven't got resources and then they go online and they say, please help this person, it's a worthy cause. Yeah. And you give your 10 bucks or 50 bucks or 100 bucks and so on. Is it the same kind of thing?
Well, it's slightly different. This is equity crowdfunding, whereas that's kind of more like cause or so you essentially what that is, so like Kickstarter and then the likes you would have seen, you would raise capital based on product. So if you were looking to launch a product, you would give one of those products, you create an incentive and you give one of those products. So when it was developed, you'd give that product to your investor. What equity crowdfunding is essentially it's democratizing the capital. I mean, it's breaking down your shares into bite-sized investment chunks that retail investors can participate in.
I remember when we listed MoneyWeb in 99, it was a fascinating exercise because it was the height of the internet boom. We heard about PE ratios today. PE ratios, remember, that's the number of years of the profits that you have to live for to get your money back. And our projected forward PE was over 100. Wow. And that's and we couldn't. We came down here to Cape Town. Sorry, came down here to Cape Town. I think I'm in Joburg. I remember going on the road show,
yeah.
And I walked into Old Mutual, and there must be 25 fund managers,
yeah,
for this piss-woody little company, which had 5 employees.
Yeah.
But it was the internet. So only they got a chunk, and they all were desperate to get shares in the company. But that's what happens in hypes. What you're saying, that if it were today, and we were to listen to you, for argument's sake, we wouldn't have to do that and go on that road show around the country and see the asset managers, who, by the way, were buying at 2 rand and selling at 17 cents.
I mean, that's what we essentially did when we were doing the listing of the REITs. I mean, we would go to all the investment banks, or the Investec, APSA, and Equities, and you'd ask for money. I mean, this is you can just put it all online. You put all your documents online. We do the onboarding process, KYC, AML, and the USC, being an accredited investor. Once you've done that, I mean, you get access to all the opportunities. You can see all the documents, kick the tires, and then if you're interested, you can make an investment.
Where do those shares get traded once you've done that investment?
So, where we focus is, it's the private markets. So they're not public companies, although you do have to do some form of an exemption filing in the US. That's called the Reg D 506C, which basically allows you to openly solicit the same securities. So you can use any medium, news, online, kind of whatever it is to promote the thing, but it has to be to an accredited investors. They do have another type of exemption called Reg CF, which is regulation crowdfunding. And that allows you to raise up to $5 billion, and that's for retail investors. And they put restrictions on the retail investors, how they can invest. If it's can invest, I think it's 5% of your kind of annual income. If you earn $100,000,
That's the US, Brian. What's the application here?
So, I mean, it's not as clear. It's obviously a very gray area in terms of what crowdfunding, in terms of SARS and in terms of Reserve Bank. We're working with the likes of Easy Equities, Easy Properties here as well. And I'll talk about some of these certain clients that we've got traction with. But, for example, they do, they would do, if they rate, they want to invest in a property in South Africa. So they would work with the developer or whoever the owner is, going to do that. And they would carve out a portion of that public equity. And then what they'd have to do is they'd have to do a prospectus and then file that with SIPC. And then they can then distribute that out to their banks. And they can then, that process takes a long time. I mean, it could take anything from 3 to 6 months to raise that capital.
I'm sure there are quite a few people in the room who bought Easy Property stakes. It's incredible because you could buy a share of a flat for like $50.
Correct.
And then that's because of your tech.
Yeah. You take Orbest. I mean, we probably helped. Yeah. So Orbest is probably our longest standing client. I think they're on the 44th property, I think, somewhere on there.
Well, Stuart would know.
Yeah.
Stuart, how many properties are best?
Yeah, I know they are, and they're creative, yeah. But I think we probably helped them raise over $200 million using our technology. And that's just from local, I mean, there's very few US investors on that side. But obviously they can, and they can invest, and everything is, it's all gone through, the Seychelles Stock Exchange. Kind of weird, and that's how you get your liquidity, and then they do one check into the US that invests.
But that's real interesting, Brian, because if you think about the world that some of us grew up in, if you wanted to buy shares on the stock market, you had to buy 100 shares. And then you had to pay a minimum of, say, 150 Rand per trade.
Yeah.
and plus a big percentage. So I remember doing the calculations. Unless you bought 10,000 rands worth of shares back then, you were actually, it wasn't worthwhile. What you're talking about now is something very different. The tech is, you say, democratized. Just unpack that for us.
Yeah, so I think, I mean, here locally, the Easy Equities is largely done. You take a US like Apple or one of the shares. I mean, one investor, and I don't know what it's trading at, $200 or something. I mean, it's largely unaffordable for a South African investor to be able to buy one share. So what Easy Equities have done is they fractionalize those shares. They use about a fraction of a share. So they've essentially divided it to 10, which makes it more affordable, and people can now buy a fraction of a share.
And that's made possible by your platform?
Well, that's not, I mean, Easy Equities is not, they have their own platform. But as I said, you'll be doing something with Easy Properties, so which is part of the commercial real estate side of things. We're helping them source U.S. commercial real estate. So they've got three million investors currently. They've only been investing in South African properties. But, because of the appeal of the U.S. dollar, we've kind of done a joint venture with them. We will source the U.S. commercial real estate deals for them. And it'll be like on a co-sponsor basis. We'll carve out a portion of the equity of that property, and then we'll essentially make it available to their investors.
It's quite a jump from being a guy running a listed property company in South Africa to a tech fellow, especially with respect.
Yeah.
Being a little, we've lost not all of our hair, but some of it, and got a bit grey.
And that's probably why I lost it.
How did it happen?
Well, as I said, it's largely by default. As I said, we were one of the original real estate crowdfunding pioneers in the U.S. with a platform that we set up. We were one of the first online real estate platforms in the U.S. But there was no tech in those days. I mean, today you can get a white label solution for easy, but there was nothing in. So we had to actually build that technology ourselves. And essentially, that's kind of where Capital Legend, beginnings of Capital Legend came around, because we decided to pivot, and we eventually we set up Capital Legend in 2017. So it's a Delaware-based company. But it's really about capital markets, and alternative investment solutions. But just, to give some color to that, what private markets compared to public markets, just that you clear on that. So last year in the US, I think it was $4.5 trillion in private markets compared to $1.25 trillion in public markets. It's almost 3.5 times more in private markets than public markets. And that's kind of where we've seen the opportunity. And the other side, so that's obviously the primary side of things. But then there's the secondary market side of things where we've seen an opportunity. So we built the primary, which is the capital raising side. But now there's the all secondaries trading. So if you think about it, there's no secondaries market infrastructure like the New York Stock Exchange or the NASDAQ, where you could trade some of these. From a liquidity point of view, or just from a trading point of view, and that's what we've seen the opportunity. And so, what we're doing in the US, we just acquired a registered broker dealer, and it's twofold. It allows us to charge a commission on all the transactions that we do. I'm registered with the SEC as well, but we're looking to become a registered ATS, which is an alternative trading system, and you need to be an ATS to be able to do the second.
So are you like budding Elon Musk?
Wish. Without the money.
Without ads, without Twitter. But it sounds like it's a similar thing. Why do South Africans do so well in America? Or is it just the few of you that pop up?
No, I mean, I think they're very resilient. I mean, they don't say no. And I think largely you'll pursue something until you've solved the problem.
And where does that come from?
I'm not sure. You just don't give up. But I think that's a South African thing. I mean, I think we've been beat through so much in South Africa. I think that we just, you'll just carry on. Keep knocking your head until you kind of get it right.
And your involvement here, back in the old country, as it were.
Yeah. So I mean, as I said, I mean, you know, I went to the US, came back, you know, the visa expired, and then my wife won the green card. I mean, the free card lottery. So we ended up back to the US, and I thought, well, this is not what it's meant to be. And yeah, we've kind of been back and forth. So now I spend, you know, I kind of chase the seasons a bit. So I spend time both in the US and here. But we've started to get some traction in South Africa. As I said, All Best is a client. Offfest, which is another, one of your partners. So Altbest, we built their investment platform, their book world platform connected to the Cape Town Stock Exchange. We built the kind of crypto side of things. We integrate with Bella. We've now built the retirement annuity kind of platform, and with the two-part system, we've kind of done that. Those changes, that functionality, they're also starting to look at going to insurance. So we kind of bought this platform for them. So I mean, they've been a very good client of ours. It's exciting. It's a neighborhood, that, you know, it's a Cape Town-based co-working platform. So they buy up real estate and they convert them into co-working. So we bought a platform for them. We also help them scale to the US, so we help them set up in the US. And they're doing some stuff in San Francisco. I mean, I wouldn't be doing something in San Francisco, but they seem to have found an opportunity. We recently acquired an FSP, a financial service provider, here in South Africa. And we renamed it Second Market. So that's kind of where we started to build up the secondary trading infrastructure, the ability to provide that secondary market, the willing buyer, willing seller, the matching engines, trading engines for secondaries. And we've also seen a big opportunity in Africa, because you don't have many exchanges or bourses kind of Africa. So how do these companies sell? They raise capital. How do they shareholders trade? So there's a real opportunity there, including a secondary fund. You're familiar with a secondary fund? So,
well, I might be, but I'm not sure that everyone here is.
So I think what's happening is, because of the diminishing public market. For various reasons. There's a lot less IPOs in the US. You can see that on the JSE as well. The IPOs. And I think it's largely to do with private equity. There's a lot more private equity around, so these companies are staying private a lot longer. The shareholders, for example, take Section 12J. That's a good example. You've got all those Section 12J investors that invested, six, 7 years ago into all these funds. It's been sunsetted now. They've waited there 5-6 years for the exception, whatever it is. But now they want to be able to trade. There is no market for them to be able to trade.
Well, you've got the 12B.
12B now.
Yeah. BA. Yeah. And I'm sure there'll be many people sitting here who've invested in that as well, which, again, to have a secondary market is really exciting. Yeah. Brian, I think just to kind of bring it all together, I remember a really smart guy, the guy who actually invested in MoneyWeb back then, saying to me, the real fortunes in the world are through arbitrage. And it sounds to me like you arbitraging between what you're learning in the US to bringing it home to South Africa in areas that we don't have it, and introducing that to this market. Would that be accurate?
Correct. Yeah, I mean, we see it, and obviously, the market is, the US market is way ahead of kind of what we're doing. It's a lot bigger market, as you know. But If you look at the secondaries markets in the US, that's grown from like 100 billion to, I think, 180 billion in the last year or so. So it's definitely picking up. I mean, it's not, you know, if you look at the NASDAQ and New York Stock Exchange, it's 200 billion to trade on a daily basis. It's small, but it's getting there. You know, the private market, I mean, you can see all the like Blackstone, all the big investment banks starting to invest into private markets. They're creating all of these. And that's kind of essentially where the wealth is being created.
So the world is changing, and you're helping to change it and to bring the latest from the first world into our world. Yep. Brian, thank you. Thank you for sharing your story with us.
Thank you.